Introduction of the Holy Spirit today, and I hope you participate and talk because I want to hear from you a little bit here. So what comes to your mind when you hear the words Holy Spirit or Spirit of God or Holy Ghost? What's the first thing that pops in your head? Comforter. Heather. All right, so someone, something in giving you some information there. All right, guidance. All right, what else?
Action.
Okay, good.
Part of the Trinity.
All right, part of the Trinity. And this is a really broad question, so I mean, you can go anywhere from, you know, Comforter to Trinity to
Spirit.
Calmer. All right. All right, so calming your spirit, all right? What else?
Probably the hardest to understand of the Trinity.
Okay, harder to understand. All right, why is the Holy Spirit harder to understand than Father and Son? And I would agree with you, but...
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then look and see those scenarios play out like Acts and so forth.
Okay.
And then going back and looking at the Old Testament, okay. I mean, this is straight, starts in the first verse of Genesis.
Right.
So, and then on that, we don't lend a lot of credence or a lot of time to the Spirit instead.
Okay.
Christ told us.
Why don't Baptists put a lot of credence in the Holy Spirit? Anybody have a thought on that one?
You want to come across as charismatic?
Okay, yeah. And really, I think a lot of it is we have kind of given that over to the Pentecostals or the charismatics. And, you know, we don't want to, you know, in our effort not to be like them, we've just neglected it. And, you know, we've just avoided the topic because we don't want visitors or people, oh, they're just, I wonder if they're those weirdo charismatics or Pentecostals and, you know, do they speak in tongues and do they, whatever, you know, all of that. So we just kind of shy away from it. I think part of it is, as Courtney said, it's the Holy Spirit's a little harder for us to comprehend. You know, why is God the Father kind of easy to understand? All right, because we all have an earthly father or a father figure. We know what it means to or have a concept of fatherhood. All right. And then for Christ, why is it even easier to kind of relate with him?
The Old Testament centers around
him. All right. The Old Testament centers around Christ. But even in the New Testament.
We have brother. It's like brother,
right? Right. You know, he was God in the flesh. So, you know, we can, you know, kind of comprehend this idea that he actually walked on the earth just like we do. He lived among people. You know, he interacted, he ate, he drank, he got tired. He, you know, walked around. He did things. He worked with people. You know, he worked with his hands. He learned to be a carpenter. You know, and we associate with all those things. But then when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, just in that name, Spirit, what does that imply?
You can't see him.
All right, you can't see him. You can't touch him. You know, what is John, John 3? I think it's John 3. It says that, you know, the Spirit does what? It's just, you know, you can't see the Spirit. You see the effects of the Spirit, just like we can't see the wind. You know, you don't know, you know, you can't look outside and go, oh, there's the wind. But you can look at the trees blowing, and especially in hurricanes, you know, you watch the trees bending over and you're going, wow, the wind is really strong today.
But I think you, for like wind, that's a good analogy, because wind can be described as far as pressure goes. But you can also, I think, look, you know what you're looking for, you can see what the Holy Spirit's working through based on that.
Yeah. Right, exactly. But yes, you can see the effects of the Spirit. You can see how the Spirit is working. But, you know, in our minds, again, you know, we think of, and or at least I do, you know, I think of God the Father, and I know the Father is a Spirit too. But we still, I conjure up this idea anyway. Maybe it's just me and I'm weird. But, you know, I still think of like a Father, some kind of, you know, Father image kind of thing, that you know, he's in charge, and not that he has a bodily form, but that he has some kind of a form that's recognizable, you know. And then Christ, you know, I can imagine as a human form. But then for the Holy Spirit, it's just like, well, you don't really see that. I don't know how to picture the Holy Spirit other than like Casper the Ghost or something, you know. And I know that's not it. But, you know, so it's harder for us to kind of put that in words that we can understand or we can draw a mental image of. And so often we struggle with that. But, you know, and I think some of it, we've just really got to force ourselves to think through Scripture and think through, you know, words that describe the Holy Spirit, works that describe the Holy Spirit, as Troy said, because those are all attributed then to the Holy Spirit. Okay? So just try to get your mind working. All right? So, and I know this is a lot harder, but, you know, do any verses jump out at you when you think of the Holy Spirit or Spirit of God? All right? Kind of paraphrase it.
That's the fruit of the Spirit.
All right? So the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
All right, the fruit of the Spirit versus the fruit of the flesh. So we have the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, long-suffering, all of that. So again, descriptions of what the Holy Spirit can bring into our lives and should be bringing into our lives. Okay, so again, that manifestation, something that, you know, you don't just look and say, oh, there's joy, or there's goodness, but you see what the effects that someone has of being joyful. You know, you can see joy in their lives. You can see goodness in their lives. You can see that they are patient and long-suffering. And so you see the effects of that within them. Okay? Any other verses jump out at you? There's a lot in the Gospel of John. And I know it took us 5 years or 6 years to get through John. But, you know, there's... John is just full of Holy Spirit verses. Yep.
I go back to Genesis 1:2.
Okay. Genesis 1. Yeah. Yep. All right. All right. So in Genesis 2, we have the Spirit of God that's covering the earth and going about over the earth. Anything else?
Yeah, John 14 is where it talks about Jesus promising the
Holy Okay, Spirit. Yeah. So we have John 14 and just Jesus trying to, you know, console the disciples. Because he just told them, you know, I'm going to die. And they're like freaking out. And he was like, you know, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in me. Believe what I'm telling you. Don't just believe in me, but realize I'm going to send you a helper, a comforter, an advocate, a paraclete, whatever. You know, whatever word you want to fit there, because it kind of describes all of that. And he said, I'm going to send you somebody that's going to help you, to go walk with you. You know, no, they're not going to be here like I am. And, you know, you're not going to be able to touch them and feel them and whatever. But they will be with you. And not only that, but they're going to be interceding for you and mediating on your behalf as you go through life. Chris. Right.
But then I found in Ephesians 1 where it says that we're saved, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Why would we need this additional step?
Right. All right. So, you know, one of the things we need to realize is that as if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. And if you're not a believer, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You know, so it's all or nothing. You know, kind of like what, if those of you that were at the prayer breakfast yesterday, you know, Pastor Mike talked about Lord and Savior. You know, and so often, he made a great point yesterday. You know, there's so many people, well, I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Savior. You know, I want to go to heaven when I die. But then you say, okay, but in accepting Christ, in when you get saved, then Christ becomes your Lord. He is your master. Oh, no, I don't want that. Like, nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know, I just want the Savior part. Well, it doesn't work that way. You know, the scripture says you're bought with a price. Well, if you're bought, then what? You're no longer your own. And you can't just do your own thing anymore. So, you know, it's one or the other. You know, and the point he made was, you know, even if you say, I'm saved, but he's not my Lord. Well, yes, he still is your Lord. You're just living in complete and total disobedience and refusing to recognize him as your Lord. You know, and at which point you're going to be severely punished and judged or convicted that you're not saved. One or the other. You know, so yes. You know, so the Holy Spirit indwells us. And that kind of comes back to what Heather said, where, you know, the more that we rely on him to guide us and direct us and help us through our daily lives, you know, it's not really our conscience, but it's that thought process of, you know, we are being led by the Spirit, and that's what we want. You know, we want, you know, as we're thinking about, you know, we're faced with a temptation and we're really thinking, you know, hey man, this is really going to be fun and I'd love to do this, but we want the Holy Spirit to step in and go, but it's sin, stop. You know, and we don't want it just to be, you know, well, you know, I don't want to get caught, I don't want this, and you know, these other, I remember, you know, as when I was a teenager, you know, there were many opportunities. I went to Christian school, grew up in church, but still, even among all of that, there were many opportunities, unfortunately, to have gotten involved in things I shouldn't have. You know, and it wasn't always, my thought process wasn't, you know, if I do this, the Holy Spirit will be grieved. My thought process was, if I do this and get caught, mom and dad are going to be really disappointed and hurt, and I don't want that to happen. You know, because my brother had done something really stupid, and I saw how my older brother, older sister, both had done things in their lives that had really hurt my mom and dad, and I saw the effect that it had on them, and as the youngest, you know, looking at that, I was just like, I don't want them to go through that hurt and disappointment because of me. And so as the teenager, it wasn't a pure motive of, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. It was, I don't want to grieve mom and dad. But you know what, as I've gotten older, it's not so much, I don't want to grieve mom and dad. My dad's dead and mom's thinks I can do no wrong because, I don't know. I won't say it on the recording, but you know, she just, you know, doesn't remember anything ever that I ever did wrong. You know, in her mind, I was a perfect boy, and I'm just like, Mom, seriously, like, I still remember all the things. You know, I wouldn't have gotten spankings as much as I did if I was perfect. So, you know, let's not go there. But you know, but it is at the point, if you know, as you grow in your maturity as a believer, it gets to where, you know, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve God. I don't want to have to fall down and go, God, you know, I'm really sorry I hurt you again. You know, please forgive me that I, you know, I lied or I cheated, I whatever. I don't want to sin against you. And so as we grow and as you form that close relationship with him, then you are able to make choices based on that love and that devotion. You know, I would liken it kind of as, you know, if you love your spouse, the longer that you're married, the longer that you're together, the more that you find out the likes and dislikes of your spouse, well, you want to please them. You want to live in harmony with them. And so you adapt. You begin doing things for them, or you choose not to do things because you understand, okay, if I do this, you know, that's going to, you know, they're going to be perturbed about that, or it's something that you know they don't like. So you avoid those things, or at least you avoid them when they're around. You know, but again, what is that? It's just learning to adapt, learning to live in harmony. And the idea with our whole, with the Holy Spirit is we want to live in harmony with the Holy Spirit. You know, we want Him to be influencing us. We want Him to be guiding us and controlling us. We want to live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And we'll start talking about that more next week. So I'll try to send you out some verses to look at and kind of get you prepped for next week. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for just a few minutes where we can share and get started talking about the Holy Spirit. And there's just the Bible is full of things about the Holy Spirit. And as Troy said, we can even throughout all the Old Testament and see the Spirit moving and the Spirit working and the Spirit influencing and being used within the Godhead to accomplish things here on the earth. And now in the New Testament, we see how He is indwelling and filling us, and how He desires to really grow us and conform us to the image of Christ, where He wants to be that a great effect in our lives, so that we can live in the fullness of God and know what it really means to live up to our potential as a believer, as a child of God, and to get all that we can while we are still on this earth and have life within us. And so I pray that you'd help us in this study and that you would guide in your name. Amen.